الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. قل أطيعوا الله والرسول فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers, students, and our mothers and sisters that are listening in the hall, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Generally, in this Mubarak month which has just come in, that is the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, we find throughout the Muslim world, and also other than that, wherever there are Muslims residing, this month brings with it a lot of conferences. It brings with it a lot of jalsas, a lot of bayans, a lot of programs in which the Mubarak personality and the seerat and the biography of Janab Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is discussed. We find that it is part of a Muslim's belief. If a mu'min, if a believer, if a person all his life just accepts part of the kalima tayyibah, which is La ilaha illallah, but does not recite and does not accept and does not believe in the second part of this kalima, which is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then his iman is incomplete. Belief in Allah is only complete when a person has belief in the Risalat, in the Prophethood of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not just in the Prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also to believe in the finality of the Prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is so because we find today that there are sects that are even existent today that believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam but do not believe in the finality of the Prophethood of Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they fall outside the fold of Islam because they believe in some other prophet that has come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referred to as Khatamun Nabiyyin. He is the seal of all prophets. Prophet and Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam that came before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right at the end as a seal to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. There will be no Nabi to come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So prophethood ended with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a person cannot be a believer until he believes in the Risalat and in the finality of the Prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that a Muslim is generally, he has this urge in him, this desire in him to listen to something about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the muhabbat that a person, the love has, that he has for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, it is part of the iman of every mu'min and every believer. Just as we have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is important. In fact, a person cannot be a true believer if he does not have the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the ayah that has been recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions قل إن كنتم تحبون الله. If you want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what is the root, what is the way, what is the method by which we will acquire the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gives us the prescription in the Quran Majeed, that if you follow this prescription, if you take this prescription, then you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have to study the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just ponder over the ayat, the basic translation of the ayat of the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so what should you do? فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the answer or the result should be that if you want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the result would be that you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention thereafter that you want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so you will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala says that if you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the result would be yuhbibukumullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. So we generally want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is a person loves somebody else, a person has got liking for somebody else, a person has got muhabbat for somebody else. But whether that next person has got muhabbat and love and liking for you, or for the person who is expressing that love, is something that is questionable. Whether that person has that love, or whether he's got that muhabbat, whether he's got that liking for you or not. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us that if you want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is so, it is so certain that you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that not only will you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. This is the guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in the ittiba of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find that worldwide, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's adat, his habits, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mubarak seerat, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's, his features are discussed, and the muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is discussed. However, the question is that we know there is such a thing as love. When or what prompts a person to love somebody else or to love something else? The ulama have mentioned that there are three things due to which a person has love for someone else. One of those three things is kamal. Kamal means perfection. When a person has perfection in anything, then that becomes a means of somebody loving him. We find as well, as far as worldly aspects are concerned, sometimes a person has perfected something, he has got a perfection, he has perfected something, and because of that aspect which he has within him, people begin loving him or begin liking him. So this is one aspect, and that is perfection. Now when we talk of the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on what grounds or for what reason do we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And let us study it in the light of these things that the ulama have mentioned, that the reasons for which a person loves somebody or likes somebody. And if you take the first of these three, and that is the kamal and perfection. If we have to look at the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even before we go to the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a human being. We find there also the features of Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the perfection in the features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why the poet says that I haven't seen anyone before you nor after you so perfectly made. It is as if you have been made how you have been created as you would have liked to be created. And my eyes haven't seen anyone more beautiful than you, and no mother has given birth to any human being or to any child that is more beautiful than you. Now this is the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we have to read the features Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the noor of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned, that in the light of the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I should thread the needle. And they mentioned that the women folk, when they saw the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he was released upon them, and when Zulaykha asked Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to be released and to come before the women and gave each one some fruit and a knife, it is mentioned that when their gaze fell onto the face of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they were so captured by the beauty and by the handsomeness of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, وَقَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنْ, that they cut their fingers, not knowing what they were doing. They were so captured by the features and by the nuraniyat and by the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So it is mentioned that this is how Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was when he came before the women folk, and how their hearts were captured by the beauty. It is mentioned that the hearts of the women of this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if it was only revealed upon them, then they would have cut their hearts because of the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's beauty cannot be explained. So however, this is one aspect of the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the perfection in the creation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is just one aspect. Now we take the various other aspects, whether it is the ibadat. We know our deen itself is made up not just of one aspect, but it is made up of five different departments. You get the ibadat, you get the muamalat, you get the aqaid, ibadat, muamalat, muasharat and akhlaq. These are the five departments of deen. One are the five pillars of deen. As we say, the kalima, namaz, roza, zakat and hadith are the five pillars of deen. But there are five departments of deen, and the five departments of deen are the aqaid, the ibadat, the muamalat, the muasharat and the akhlaq. These form the basics of deen. Now if you have to study each one, you will find Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has perfection in each of these five. If you look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the i'tiqad or his aqidat or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's belief and whatever beliefs a mu'min is supposed to have, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that there is perfection. If you look at the ibadat, looking at it from that point of view, if you see what type of salah Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, his other actions of ibadah, there's perfection in that. To the extent that we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to excel so much in ibadah that his feet mubarak used to swell. This was the ibadah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You look at the muasharat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dealings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in everything of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in whichever aspect of deen we have to study, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will find there is absolutely nothing but perfection. Perfection to the highest degree we find in the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's actions, in his ibadat, in his muamalat, in his dealings with people, in his akhlaq, in his character, in everything there is perfection. So that is one reason that a person has love for somebody. So we have love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we express our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is because of the kamal that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has in every aspect, in every department. That is one. The second is jamal. Jamal, a person has love for somebody else because of the beauty that one possesses. If we look at the beauty that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed, we've just mentioned a few moments ago, that what beauty Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam possessed, and what beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we have to study the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's seerat, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's surat, his features, what the features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were, one will not have but think that what beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you go a little beyond that, this is one thing we find in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. The love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so intense that you will find that there is something that is completely different as far as the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. The love that they had and they expressed for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was so intense that we find that every action of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is recorded. And we will also find that even the Mubarak features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it was the eyebrows of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the eyelids of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the forehead, the Mubarak forehead of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all these have been in detail explained in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. They mentioned the features Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was the hair Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The length of the hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it was till the earlobe, whether it was lower, how far did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam the hair Mubarak reach, and what type of hair Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, whether he had extremely thin hair or whether he had curly hair, that is also explained in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the teeth Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam have also been explained, as it comes in the hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when one sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains and he gives a detailed explanation and a description of the teeth Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there was a little gap between the two front teeth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Mubarak forehead of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned that the eyebrows also would not meet, and in the center there was a vein that would be exposed when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam became angry on some matter of deen. Then regarding the arms of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the strength of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, detailed explanation of every aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mubarak body. This is how it has been preserved in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the muhabbat that the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The perspiration Mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the speaking of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, all this has been recorded. This is the muhabbat that the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not only that, the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and the historians, in fact, we should not just call them historians, but these were the ashiqs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that recorded the biography of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in such detail that we find that even the animals that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam possessed, and the names have also been recorded, that these were the animals that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam possessed. If he had animals, then what were the names of the animals? If he had horses, then what were the names of the horses? If there were donkeys that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, mules that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had, then what were their names? How many walking sticks that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam have? The type of dress that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wore, whether he wore a lungi or whether he wore an izar, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, everything has been recorded. Now we find that this is the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that one is his kamal and one is his perfection as far as actions go, and the second is perfection as far as his beauty is. What beauty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if one just has to study the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will fall in love with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the second aspect, where a person loves somebody because of the beauty that the person has. And the third aspect for which one loves somebody else is because of ihsan and favor, which is known as niwal. So one is kamal, one is jamal, and one is nawal, which is favor and ihsan. Now if you look at the favors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam upon us and upon the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at large, we will not be able to count the favors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sacrifices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and of course his family, the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, made for this deen Mubarak to be preserved in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and then passed on to us in its pristine purity as we find it today. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what type of sacrifices Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through in order for this deen to be preserved and this deen to be passed on. If you look right at the beginning, what type of sacrifice Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made, the sahaba ikram, the torture that they went through. Now the Mubarak and sensitive heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, seeing all that, observing all that, what type of pain and grief Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's Mubarak and sensitive heart must have experienced at that time. So we find that whether it is kamal, whether it is jamal, or whether it is niwal, either it is the perfection of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to that we have the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or whether it is the jamal of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beauty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a person has love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of his beauty. And whether it is the favors of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the muhabbat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now once a person has true love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that becomes the driving force. That becomes the driving force for ittiba. When a person has love for somebody, then the person wants to follow him or her. Similarly, when we have the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will lead to the ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we will discuss the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what was the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the character mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But unfortunately, we find in spite of hearing so much about the mubarak features of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sacrifices that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made for this ummah, in spite of all that, we do not get the courage to practice upon the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not get the courage to come close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to implement the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this is one thing we should come out of. We should make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that okay, we may be thinking and we may be sometimes discussing the mubarak seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what should the result of that be? Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, after discussing the mubarak seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter my heart. And once the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters my heart, then to practice upon the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become extremely easy. Now when we look at the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one may think that there are so many sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do we implement all the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is very, very easy. There are so many sunnah kitabs that we see around us, we find around us. Take one sunnah kitab and start from one basic sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now sometimes we mention that, when we go for meals somewhere, we're invited somewhere at a dawat, we have a dawat somewhere, whether it's a wedding invitation, a walima invitation, or otherwise, we find at the end of the meal, sometimes somebody queries that whether a sweet dish should be taken first or should be taken last. And sometimes some others that hear this, then make a joke of it, that the only place that you think of a sunnah is when it's eating time. Other than that, you don't think of sunnah. But let us remember that even if it may be in things like that which are easy for us, basic sunnahs as far as eating are concerned, implement the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there, because it is easy for me, I will start off there. Whether it is the sunnahs of sleeping, how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleep? What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? What was his mubarak adat and what was his mubarak way? Before his step, what did he do and how did he sleep? If we can make amal on these basic sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course there are other sunnahs that sometimes we find it difficult to practice upon the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like for instance, the waking up at the time of the Hajj, this was a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But however, sometimes certain things may be difficult for us. So start with the easy sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the other thing is that when we are there are many sunnahs which we are already practicing upon. But unfortunately, because at that time the intention is not there that we are practicing upon the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it does not gain for us the desired closeness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For instance, we are walking into the masjid. Now, whether we walk in with the right foot or left foot, first it won't make a difference to us. Whether you walk in with the right foot or left foot, it's not going to be a step more, a step less. But walking with the right foot and with this intention at that time, that this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, when a person is conscious about that, he is going to get the closeness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he's thinking, this is how my beloved did it. And when he is doing that, he is being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's taking a step closer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we start our wudu, we are washing our hands. Why? When we are at the beginning of wudu, we are gargling. Now if somebody asks us, why, we just say we're gargling. But at that time, if one thinks that this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his wudu, now at that time you think of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When somebody queried one time that how do we get concentration in namaz, how do we get khushu and khudu in namaz, so ulama have mentioned different things as to what should be done in order to gain khushu and khudu in namaz. Sometimes it is mentioned that try and contemplate on the meaning of the ayat of the Quran and Majid. But generally we will say that we do not understand the meaning of the Quran and Majid, we do not understand Arabic, so how are we going to concentrate on the ayat of the Quran and Majid? So fair enough. So to these type of people, sometimes the answer that is given is this, that in every posture, when in whatever posture we are in salah, think at that time that what action, this action that I am doing now, under what category does it fall? Does it fall under farz? Does it fall under wajib? Does it fall under sunnah? Does it fall under mustahab? Now when a person is raising his hands to his ears for to start to commence the salah, at that time if he thinks that this is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is how my beloved performed his salah, and at that time he is picturing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam raising his hands up to his ears, and thereafter when he's folding his hands below his navel for a Hanafi, and in a particular method where the three fingers are together and the thumb and the little finger around the wrist, now he's got his hands in this way and placed below the navel. Now he's standing that way, not just because he's taught that way, but because it is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how our beloved did it. Now in every sunnah in a person, there are so many sunnahs in namaz that we are practicing upon. We are fulfilling the sunnah, but sometimes we don't even know that these are sunnahs. If we have to ask ourselves that how many of us know this, that to raise our hands to the ears is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then at that time, whilst raising the hands to the ears, the palms to face the Qibla, that is also a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the hands can be raised to the ears this way also, and namaz will still be accepted. In fact, even if a person didn't raise his hands at all and just stood straight in namaz, the namaz will still be accepted, provided he says the takbir ula, he says Allahu Akbar, and he starts his namaz leaving his hands on the side, his namaz will be accepted. But why is he raising his hand, and why in this particular method and fashion where he's got his palms facing the Qibla, and why is it that he doesn't keep his fingers extremely closed and neither wide open, but they are just reasonably spaced? This is also because it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just in one action, three sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Placing the hands below the navel. How many sunnahs? One is placing the hands below the navel in itself is a sunnah. Then taking the right over the left. A person can stand with the left over the right hand and the namaz will still be accepted. Why is it that I am placing my right over the left? Because it is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why we find that these sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gain us the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore my shaykh and shaykh Hazrat Hakim Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentions, naqsh-e qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, naqsh-e qadam nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste, Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. That following the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will lead you to jannat. If you want to go to Jannah, there is one way and one way only, and that is following in the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. The ways of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make you meet the beloved, will make you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are all looking for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The love of Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will come in the ittiba' of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore we find the akabirin, the awliya Allah, those who have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how did they achieve that? They achieved that through ittiba'i sunnah, through following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They got the closeness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such extent that on one occasion it is mentioned about one person who was in Peshawar. Hazrat Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned this incident, so therefore I cannot doubt the authenticity of this particular incident. Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentions that this person was so close, and he was also Sahib-e-Nisbat. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali mentions ke sunai ke wo Sahib-e-Nisbat se, that I have heard also that he was a Sahib-e-Nisbat, meaning that he was one that had that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that close ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this person, he made two du'as, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted both his du'as. He said he made this du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that oh Allah, I make the ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I make the ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after that I must see nobody. I must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one, and after that I must see nobody. This is the first dua. And the second dua is this, that I must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly. He made this dua, and because of his intense muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his ishq for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned, Thani rahmatullah alayhi mentions, that after this person made this dua, that oh Allah, after I see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my eyes must see nobody else. It is mentioned that this person got up in the morning a blind person.
This was his ishq and his intense love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali also mentions that thereafter this person used to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly. But at the same time it is mentioned about this person, Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali mentions that his memory was so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had strengthened it so much that if a person came and met him after years, then just by hearing the person's voice, he's recognized the person, that this is the person I met so many years ago. So this is the intense muhabbat for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no doubt the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be discussed. But this should be discussed with the intention that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's muhabbat comes into our hearts. And thereafter, this will drive us towards practicing upon the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once again, take the simple sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will all be returning home from here. When we go home, how do we enter the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he entered the home, he made salam and he made salam loudly. Now what difficulty is there for us? And the beauty part of it is that practicing upon the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes our dunyawi life also a pleasure. Because it's making salam and entering the house, there's so many benefits in just making salam and entering the house. So every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's benefit for us as far as our deen is concerned, as far as our dunya is concerned. We make dua to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the true ishq and muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to implement the mubarak sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
یار رہے یار اب تو میرا اور میں تیرا یار رہوں مجھ کو فقط تجھ سے ہو محبت خلق سے میں بیزار رہوں ہر دم ذکر و فکر میں تیرے مست رہوں سرشار رہوں ہوش رہے نہ مجھ کو کسی کا تیرا مگر ہوشیار رہوں اب تو رہے بس قدم آخر ورد زباں اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا إله إلا الله 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 دونوں جہاں میں جو کچھ بھی ہے سب ہے تیرے زیر نگی جنوں انسو حور و ملائک عرش و کرسی چرخ و زمین کونوں مقام لائق سجدہ تیرے سوا اے نور مبین کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس قدم آخر ورد زبا اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ 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 یاد میں تیری سب کو بھولا دوں کوئی نہ مجھ کو یاد رہے, تجھ پر سب گھر بار لوٹا دوں خانہ دل آباد رہے, سب خوشیوں کو آگ لگا دوں غم سے تیرے دل شاد رہے, سب کو نظر سے اپنی گرا دوں تجھ سے فقط فریاد رہے, اب تو رہے بس ساد میں آخر ورد زباں اے میرے الہ, لا الہ الا اللہ, 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. نفس و شیطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائے کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ, اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر جاتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ, مجھ ستا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کرداروں نام سیا, تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ, اب تو رہے بس ساد میں آخر ورد زباں اے میرے الہ, لا الہ الا اللہ, 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. سوچو ذرا فرعون کے گھر میں موسیٰ کو پالا کس نے, غور کرو مچھلی کے شکم میں یونس کو رکھا کس نے, پہلے آگ میں ڈالا پھر آگ کو پھول کیا کس نے, ان کے نام کی گنگاتے ہیں ابراہیم خلیل اللہ, الا اللہ الا 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 اللہ, لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. دل میرا ہو جائے ایک میدان ہو, تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو ہو تو ہی تو, اور میرے تن میں بجائے آب گل, درد دل ہو درد دل ہو درد دل, غیر سے بالکل ہی اٹھ جائے نظر, تو ہی تو آئے نظر دیکھوں جدر. اللہ جل جلالہ تعالی شانہ, اللہ 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 کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ اللہ کیسا پیارا نام ہے, عاشقوں کا مینا اور جام ہے. اللہ اللہ اینچے شیرین السلام, شیر و شکر میں شود جانم تمام. اللہ جل جلالہ و تعالی شانہ, اللہ 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 لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. يا كريم الله يا رحيم الله, O most loving, caring, compassionate Allah, O most tolerant Allah, Ya Allah, through your infinite fadl, karam, grace, mercy and ihsan, Ya Allah, forgive each and every sin of ours.
Oh, my beloved Allah, we have gathered here just to take your name, to recite your name. Ya Allah, to make your zikr. Ya Allah, after having taken your Mubarak name, Ya Allah, these begging bowls are raised before you. Ya Allah, these begging bowls you have attached to our bodies so that they may be raised before you any part of the day or night. Oh, my beloved Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, forgive each and every sin of ours. Oh, my beloved Allah, we are acknowledging every sin of ours. Ya Allah, the sins that we have committed during the brightness of the day or during the darkness of the night, thinking that no one was watching us. Oh, my beloved Allah, what zulm and injustice we made on ourselves. We thought when we were committing those sins in the darkness of the night that no one was watching us. Oh, my beloved Allah, we thought of everyone to have high sight and we thought of you to be blind, my beloved Allah. Through your infinite fazl, grace, mercy, ihsan, Ya Allah, forgive this major crime of ours. Ya Allah, the sins that we have committed with our eyes, forgive. Ya Allah, forgive those sins that we have committed with our ears. Ya Allah, your given ni'mat and bounties we use for your displeasure. Ya Allah, we use your given eyes, Ya Allah, to see haram. We use your given ears to hear haram. Oh, my beloved Allah, we use your given tongues to speak haram. Oh, my beloved Allah, forgive each and every sin of ours. Oh, my beloved Allah, we are acknowledging our sins. We have raised our hands before you, my beloved Allah. These hands are not raised before any idol that does not see, that does not hear, my beloved Allah. You're all knowing, you're all seeing. You know the regret that we have in our hearts, my beloved Allah. The remorse that we have deep down our hearts. Oh, my beloved Allah, we have spent our lives in your disobedience. My beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq, the hidayat and the guidance to change our lives, Ya Allah. Bring our lives in conformity with your ahkam and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved Allah, change our aching and dead heart, Ya Allah. Hawa o hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya, dil badal de, khudaya fadl farma dil badal de. Oh, my beloved Allah, we have sinned and blackened our hearts, my beloved Allah. Our hearts we have made into bin bags. Every filth that we could think of we have placed into our hearts. Oh, my beloved Allah, through your infinite fazl, grace, mercy and ihsan, clean and purify our hearts. Give us those hearts that you grant to the awliya siddiqeen and to your friends and to your pious servants, my beloved Allah. Oh, my beloved Allah, we have sinned and sinned and sinned and we are now tired of sinning. Ya Allah, you will not get tired of forgiving. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant us from your treasures of forgiveness. Oh, my beloved Allah, even though our sins may be more than the waves of the ocean. Oh, my beloved Allah, even though our sins may be more than the grains of sand of the earth. Oh, my beloved Allah, Ya Kareem Allah, Ya Raheem Allah, Ya Rasool Allah, even though our sins may be more than the leaves of the trees of the world put together, Ya Allah, your forgiveness knows no bounds, Ya Allah. Open your treasures of forgiveness, open your floodgates of mercy, open your floodgates of maghfirat. Oh, my beloved Allah, we have not gathered here on our own. Oh, my beloved Allah, it is you that have given the tawfiq. If it wasn't for your given tawfiq, if it wasn't for your given guidance, Ya Allah, it was not possible for us to attend and to gather ourselves here. Oh, my beloved Allah, you have brought us here. You make decisions of forgiveness for us. Make decision of forgiveness for our parents, Ya Allah. Make decision of forgiveness for our family members, Ya Allah. Make decision of forgiveness for our children, Ya Allah. Make decision of forgiveness for the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved Allah, ab tu maaf kar de, ab tu maaf kar de. Oh, my beloved Allah, how long are we going to remain in this life of sin and filth, Ya Allah? We are tired of sinning. Ya Allah, take us out of all the sins and all this filth, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, through your infinite grace, mercy and ihsan. Ya Allah, grant us clean and purified hearts. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with the muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the ability to appreciate the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To appreciate the sacrifices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, that masoom Nabi, he goes into sajda and intercedes of animals are placed on his neck. Ya Allah, he goes to Taif and he is soon to Taif. Oh my beloved Allah, he is called by name. His sahaba ikram is Allah ta'ala alayhi majma'in. A tortured my beloved Allah. What we do? What has Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gone through for his ummah? Oh my beloved Allah, grant us the ability to sacrifice like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sacrificed. Ya Allah, grant us the ability to appreciate the sacrifices of the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the sacrifice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of the ummah, change the condition of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, we know that because we have been disobedient to you and disobedient to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of our distancing ourselves from you, oh my beloved Allah, we are experiencing various types of problems. Oh my beloved Allah, there is no more unity left among the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, brothers and sisters are disunited, parents and children are disunited, husbands and wives are disunited. Oh my beloved Allah, Ya Kareem Allah, Ya Rahim Allah, O most forgiving Allah, O most tolerant Allah. Ya Allah, through your infinite fadl, karam, grace and mercy, unite the hearts of parents and children. Oh my beloved Allah, grant muhabbat between parents and children. Oh my beloved Allah, unite the hearts of husbands and wives, unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, remove the differences, remove the differences from the hearts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hearts of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, you grant us all tawfiq and hidayat and guidance. Oh my beloved Allah, grant us all that good that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you for, and grant us protection from all the evil that Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you for protection from. Ya Allah, all those du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you for, Ya Allah, grant us all that good, and especially at the time of Hajjatul Wada, Ya Allah, that good which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you for whilst touching the Rukn Yamani, Ya Allah, and whilst kissing the Hajar Aswad, and after performing Salah in the Hatib, and whilst making Tawaf of the Baytullah, Ya Allah, and at the Maqam Ibrahim, the du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, Ya Allah, and at Safa and Marwa, the du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, Ya Allah, and at Mina and Muzdalifah, the du'as that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, Ya Allah, and especially, Ya Allah, in Arafat from Zuhar till Maghrib, that Ma'asum Nabi, Ya Allah, raised his hand and he made du'as and he made du'as. Ya Allah, all that good that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you for, Ya Allah, bless us with that goodness. Ya Allah, bless our families with that goodness. Bless our parents with that goodness. Bless our children with that goodness. Bless those who have made ihsan upon us with that goodness. Bless those who have muhabbat for us with that goodness. Ya Allah, through infinite mercy, grant the whole ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that goodness. Ya Allah, our progenies to come up to the time of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, bless them with that goodness. Ya Allah, and all the evil that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you for protection from. Ya Allah, grant all of us protection from the evil that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you for protection from. Agarche pur khata hai, par kahan jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda, ba ummide karam aaya. Ya Allah, we are at your door and tapping, let us in. Oh my beloved Allah, accept all works of deed. Tabligh wa da'wat ki mehnat qabool farma, unki istimaat ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, unki gasht ko qabool farma, unki ta'aleem ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, madaris, makatib, khanqahon ki mehnat ko qabool farma. Ya Allah, whoever is serving deen in whichever way, Ya Allah, grant everyone, Ya Allah, sincerity and ikhlas, and grant everyone the ability to make the khidmat of deen within the parameters of sharia. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, you become happy and pleased with everyone. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, whatever we have asked you for, grant us that. And whatever we have not asked you for, Ya Allah, which is good for us as far as the deen is, our deen is concerned and dunya is concerned, Ya Allah, grant us that. Ya Allah, those that are sick and ailing, grant them shifa'i kamil adil mustamir. Ya Allah, whether it is those that are seated in this majlis, or whether those that are in hospitals, whether those that are in clinics, or that are lying in the bed, Ya Allah, wherever they may be, Ya Allah, from the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whomsoever may be sick, Ya Allah, through your infinite fadl, karam, grace and mercy, grant them shifa-e kamil ajil mustamir. Ya Allah, you are not in need of operations. You are not in need of medication to give shifa. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, Ya Allah, let your hukm and order of shifa be directed direct to our sicknesses and grant us shifa. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, grant us the best in this world and grant us the best in the akhirah. Ya Allah, those that have death, Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, give everyone enough halal risk, Ya Allah, so that they can come out of the death. Ya Allah, through your infinite mercy, grant us muhabbat for our parents. Ya Allah, grant us respect for our elders. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Agar che pur khata hai, par kahan jaye tera banda, tere dar par tera banda, ba ummeed karam aaya. Ya Allah, at the time of our death, take us away to Madina Tayyiba. Ya Allah, why is reciting salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let our souls be extracted. Oh, my beloved Allah, tamanna hai ki diyare Madina ab watan hota, wahi jeeta, wahi marta, wahi goro kafan hota. Oh, my beloved Allah, grant us steadfastness on iman, grant us maut on iman. Ya Allah, resurrect us on the day of qiyamah with iman. Ya Allah, through the wasila of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we ask you to accept our du'as. Ya Allah, in this Mubarak month, Ya Allah, wherever the Mubarak personality of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be discussed, Ya Allah, grant us the ability to put into practice the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Grant us the ishq of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Grant us the muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, grant us your ma'rifat. Ya Allah, make us that fish that swim deep down in your ocean of ma'rifat. Allahumma rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amin ya rabbal alamin bi rahmatika ya